Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word comes to us today from the gospel lesson in Mark 9. Hearing again the first three verses. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. This is God's word. The prophet Elijah, you just heard mentioned in Mark 9, was a powerful personality in the Old Testament. He knew all about God-given success. He had stood alone against 450 prophets of Baal and emerged victorious with Israel's God providing fire from heaven on his behalf. Elijah also knew about fear and despair. Not long after his showdown with the prophets of Baal, Elijah fled for his life to the mountains. A wicked queen wanted him dead, so he ran. And finding refuge in a rocky cave, he began to have doubts about his calling. He was convinced he was the only faithful servant of God left. And what good had it done him? There on the mountain, God spoke with Elijah in a still, small voice, urging him to get back into the struggle. He was not the only faithful one. There were thousands left. So Elijah came down the mountain and entered the fray once more. Elijah also knew about teamwork and camaraderie. He mentored a young man named Elisha, who would inherit the prophetic work and would arguably do greater things than he did. And Elijah knew about making a dramatic departure. On that day, Elijah asked Elisha what his last request might be. Elisha requested a double share of the spirit of Elijah. He wanted to be as bold for the Lord as Elijah had been, if not more so. As they walked along, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind straight into heaven. Now that's an exit. It's no coincidence that this Elijah was one of two powerful Old Testament personalities that appear with Jesus on Jesus' day of transfiguration. Moses, of course, was the other, and he was uniquely equipped to talk things over with Jesus on that mountaintop. Moses had scaled a few mountains in his day. He had met with God up there on the summit on more than one occasion. At the end of his life, he was brought to another mountain peak to see the promised land that the entire Exodus had led to. The Lord God had enlisted both of these men, Moses and Elijah, to carry out His will, to do impossible things, to face great opposition, and to learn radical dependence on God. These two were Jesus' advisors on this momentous occasion? And are you beginning to see why? The Gospel of Mark tells us that Elijah and Moses were talking with Jesus on that high mountain. As Jesus was shining with radiant light, Mark shares no details about that conversation. But Luke does in his transfiguration account. He drops a huge hint about that conversation when he uses the word Exodus. Luke says, "Those having appeared in glory were speaking of the Exodus that Jesus was about to accomplish in Jerusalem." Now, Exodus is often translated as departure in English, but the word is there in the Greek, exodon. What Jesus was about to accomplish in Jerusalem was a new exodus, a movement out of slavery through water and wilderness to the promised land. Jesus would accomplish this by his baptism, his suffering, his death on the cross, and his resurrection from the tomb. It's an amazing image. And it only makes sense that Moses was there to coach Jesus on leading an exodus, seeing as how he led the first one. But what about Elijah? What would he have to contribute to this conversation? Well, let's go back through his life and see. We said before, Elijah knew all about God-given success. Remember his success against 450 prophets of Baal? He would be able to relate to Jesus, who himself would go on to do great things, miraculous things. Miracles of healing, exerting control over the forces of nature, extracting evil spirits from people, teaching with authority, even in the face of opposition. Elijah knew all about fear and despair. Remember his night in the cave on the mountain. So he would be able to relate to Jesus, who would feel the full weight of his calling in the Garden of Gethsemane, looking into the abyss of human sin that he was being asked to handle. Elijah knew about teamwork and camaraderie. Remember his relationship with Elisha. So he could relate to Jesus, who had called men and women out of old ways and created a new kind of community and gave them the charge of kingdom work. And yes, Elijah knew about making a dramatic departure, chariots of fire, so he could relate to Jesus, who, after dying, would return to life, and after returning to life, would ascend into heaven in the sight of his disciples. Elijah could have had much to say to Jesus about the joys and challenges of working in the kingdom of God. And I just wonder if Jesus found the presence of Moses and Elijah encouraging. I mean, so much of what happened on the mountain of Transfiguration was for the disciples' benefit, to reveal something about Jesus to them. This event really was for them. The voice from heaven was talking to them. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." But I wonder how much of this incident was also for Jesus, to encourage him. Because after it, When he went down that mountainside to Jerusalem, there was no turning back. And the way forward would be very dark indeed. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that you could use some encouragement today. Let's find it on this Transfiguration mountaintop. Like Elijah and Jesus, if you give yourself some time to reflect, you can probably recall some God-given success that He has allowed you to enjoy, good gifts that He permitted to come to you. Our human minds can shove those into the background oftentimes. Take a moment to move those to the front, just a little. And let's be candid, like Elijah and our Lord, you're probably well acquainted with fear and despair. You may feel like Elijah felt. He had done all the right things, and yet, bad things still happened. He felt isolated and abandoned until God came to him and turned his heart with simple words. Not some big production, not a fire, not an earthquake, not a whirlwind, but a still, small voice. The same thing is happening today. God's words. Do you hear them? This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. Aren't you tired of what happens when you listen to your own self-talk over and over? Are you still listening to the advice givers of our era telling you to do for you and you alone? Isn't it time to listen to Jesus? I mean, really listen, really give His words an audience in your heart and mind. To listen as He steps on the scene at the beginning of His ministry saying, "Repent, turn around, for the kingdom of God is here." To listen as He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest in Jesus is real. Rest in Jesus is available to you. Are you listening? And still more encouragement. Like Jesus and Elijah, there is teamwork and camaraderie that develops when God draws diverse people to Himself. The Christian code word for this is fellowship. It's Elijah and Elisha. It's Jesus and Peter, James, and John. It's you and the people who care and call and text and reach out, not because they have to, but because the love of Jesus creates a new kind of community in the world. And finally, like Elijah and like Jesus, your Savior, you can look at your departure in a whole different way. Departing to be with Christ in heaven is something to look forward to. Something at which your life, your whole life, can be aimed. You need never fear this departure. Jesus went first into the deepest darkness and came back alive, and has gone to prepare a place for you in the residence of His Father. Like the Apostle Paul, you can eagerly desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far than anything this world has to offer. Yet, in the same breath, you can acknowledge and accept that every day that you are here holds an opportunity to be useful to God. It's a win-win. It is the win-win of resurrection faith. Be encouraged this Transfiguration Sunday. You cannot stay on this mountaintop, but by all means, remember it. Remember Jesus shining in glory. Remember the holy conversation of Elijah and Moses. Remember the words of the Father. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him." Listen to Him in success, in despair. Listen to Him in the fellowship of this faith family. Listen to Him at your departure. You cannot stay on this mountaintop, but by God's grace in Jesus, one day you'll be back in His brightness, back to stay. Please pray with me. It is good, Lord, to be here, yet we cannot remain. So since You bid us to come down the mountain, stay with us on the plain. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.